At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Who wants to see your hairy balls? So clean them up. Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL is taking care of you. Maybe you're just looking at yourself and you're going, I'm too far gone. There's nothing I can do. Manscaped's got you covered. And you might say, but Sean, there's... just so where do I begin? Manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. That's where you begin. That's where you go. That's what you do to figure out all this. Body wash, body buffers, shampoo, beard oil, beard balm, beard trimmers, beard combs, and then stuff for your nether regions. Ear and nose hair trimmers. What don't they have at Manscaped.com when you use that code FIGHTFUL? If you travel too much, you're like, I can't be bothered with that. They got the go bag as well. They got the groin and go bundle. They have everything for you. Don't let yourself go by the wayside. Take control of yourself and your cleanliness. Go to Manscaped.com. Use that code FIGHTFUL. What's up, you guys? Welcome to FIGHTFUL. Sean Ross Sapp here with Alex Pawlowski. It is December 4th, 2024. We've got a busy week here at FIGHTFUL. I'll get into all the plugs and all that stuff. Alex, how you doing?
Good. It's Christmas time, and so I am once again a dude wrapped in Christmas lights. That is the thing. I cease to be Alex Pawlowski on these shows, and start to be a dude wrapped in Christmas lights.
I'm in the Christmas spirit this year. My wife and I decided we're not going to buy each other gifts. We want to make some moments and memories. We lost some family this year, Alex, and we're like, well, half our family died. Let's get out of here. Let's not be here for Christmas.
All right.
So we're going to New York. Okay. But last night we went to a Macaulay Culkin screening of Home Alone.
Wow.
And as someone who has watched that movie dozens of times, one of my favorite movies of all time, I realized, well, of course, I've never seen it in a theater. I'm too young to have been at a theater to see that. It was an incredible experience. And then I looked locally and I was like, what else could I possibly see? And they're showing Die Hard in 2 weeks at the Kentucky Theater. So I'm going to that too. We're going to watch Home Alone 2 in New York in our hotel room and then go visit all the places in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. We're very excited for that.
That's great.
I want people in our chat, whether it be after the fact in our comments or here in the live chat. First off, we usually ask you to drop a fruit emoji. Drop something Christmassy. Do we got wreath emojis? Do we got tree emojis? Do we have any Santa emojis? Any of those? Drop them in our live chat. Leave a thumbs up. Tap that bell for notifications. Send a super chat or a humper chat. Our great moderator, Luis, is always here to help us out with these super chats and humper chats to get your question or statement read on the air. You guys, I just want to say you all showed up big time for Ibu's debut on the Raw Post Show. Great job that he did over there. Very much looking forward to that. So make sure you guys get in those super chats, humper chats. Happy to reveal that Andrew Baydala will be joining me again on the Saturday night's main event post show. He absolutely killed it with me last time. And I was like, yeah, buddy, we need to get you on here a lot more. So very, very happy that he's going to be back on our YouTube channel feature. Speaking of people who are back, James Lynch. I mean, my God, he worked with Alex and I years ago on the MMA end. When they announced Survivor Series for Vancouver, I thought, a couple reasons I'm not going. Well, a few. Thanksgiving weekend. Two, I always go to WrestleCade. Got 10 interviews in the can there. Mm-hmm. Vancouver, way far away, but they also don't do media junkets there because they don't want their talent to have to fly Thanksgiving and then be there Friday morning. Well, as it turns out, Canadians don't have to worry about that. So James Lynch covered Survivor Series for us. Now, he is one of the top interviewers in MMA right now, and he dropped an incredible video today in place of the hump. Jimmy Van was out, and I was a little under the weather. But he talks you through covering a WWE event and how it compares to covering a UFC event. Alex, do you want to know one of the things that actually popped a WWE rep who watched that video?
Please tell me.
He said in a week where there was a WWE downtime Twitter, James Lynch put over how much more time efficient WWE was than UFC because it's way worse in the UFC. We're talking about 7-hour shows, like 20 minutes between fights, all that stuff. Fantastic video there. I had an interview with Steve Maclin last week. I've got an interview that is dropping tomorrow with the former Cameron Grimes, Trevor Lee, head of MLW One Shot. I just dropped another select exclusive interview with Steve Maclin, and we had a couple big Fightful Select reports that Will mentioned right now. And if prompted by our super chats, Humper Chats, we'll talk about it. The Rock, probably not working WrestleMania, at least as of right now. We've got details on that. If you say, well, what about Bad Blood? We got answers on that. Well, what's he been doing? We got answers on that. Why don't they think he's working Bad Blood? FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. And then we had details on Ryan Nemeth and the complaint he had filed to AEW regarding some issues with CM Punk, and more so how he felt like he was ignored during that process. That's it for the plugs. Please support all the wonderful things we do. We are headed right towards the Fightful Awards. I am finalizing the nominations, and I'll give you guys a quick rundown of how that'll go. I did open nominations from our staff and subscribers. Those are getting narrowed down, and the actual voting will be up the night of Saturday night's main event. If something happens and there is a match, promo, or something so insanely good, we will have some sort of special voting there for that. But we will try to get those in a little bit earlier than usual. But by God, you can see the nominations if you are any kind of Fightful Select subscriber, free or paid. And if you are on the paid tiers, you can vote as well. We had thousands of voters, but by God, let's get into AEW Dynamite tonight. Enough of the damn plugs. We got Humper Chats, Alex. I am Crush NC, says great episode of Dynamite. Great wrestling is what this show needs. This is the AEW I love. Also, Sean, Google DPW ticks. I don't think I've got to Google that. I know what DPW is, Deadlock Pro Wrestling. They do wonderful things, unless there's something that, you know, I don't know about. Maybe smart me up to that. But, Alex, I'll tell you what I noticed tonight.
What?
This crowd, the more intimate environment, brand new venue in Fishers, Indiana. We're talking about a 7,500 seater as opposed to an NBA size arena.
Right.
This is more of the norm.
Yeah.
It made a massive difference in this show, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. They were all very present. It didn't feel cavernous. This was really good. I thought it looked really good on screen too. Like, this was a
sounded incredible.
Sounded incredible. But also looked really good. Didn't look like it was small. It just looked like it was the right size for this particular event.
And obviously, when you film towards the screens, you're going to get some cavernous areas because there are some areas that are blacked out by the screen because people can't see. I actually like what WWE does. They do a little trick where you'll notice it when you look now. Beyond the screens, they have another like set of lights, which are little like LED lights that aren't necessarily there for brightness. They're there to make the screen look busier. Right. They are there to make things look just a little bit more lively. That way it's not just black. I feel like AEW, if you're going to borrow one thing from WWE, it should be something like that. Because I think the cavernous areas are definitely fewer in venues like this. I love how they lit behind the hard, like opposite the hard cam.
Yeah.
One of the things I loved about the early days of AEW, you could see the people. You could see that people were there and they were having fun. I always used to say you would see people that were clearly like out on dates. They were drinking their beer with their girlfriend, having fun, watching wrestling. This was more reminiscent of that. And Alex, I have covered numerous events where they're doing this weekend's GalaxyCon. Even before Fightful, I covered NXT at the Arnold Sports Festival for Wrestling Inc. And that is a very, very fun environment. Like it is going to be interesting. Then they got Hammerstein coming up.
Yeah.
Those, we know how that looks. Very excited for that. They'll be at Orlando. We don't know exactly how that will do up against WWE, but this show has me hyped for AEW's live event strategy moving forward. And in a week where, you know, there was so much discourse about the frustration of AEW, I felt like this was a very, very good step forward for AEW.
Yeah.
With one match in particular that we will be talking about this evening. Meat Norma says, shout out to Vicky L. Meat loves you, even if you're vegan. We love Vicky here. We love Vicky here. But you know who I love here, Alex.
Who's that?
Shelton Benjamin.
Me too. Don't hit him with the ASMR. Don't do it, man. They're not ready for it.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
¿Qué tal, mi gente? Te saluda Emanuel González de Mark Wahlberg Auto Group. Somos la agencia más grande de Chevrolet y GMC de todo Columbus, donde encuentras los carros y camionetas nuevos, cero millas al mejor precio. También contamos con más de 800 carros usados de todas las marcas en inventario. Te podemos aprobar con número E-TEAM y aceptamos identificación o pasaporte de tu país. En Mark Wahlberg te esperamos con los brazos abiertos. Visítanos hoy mismo, 3900 West Broad Street, al oeste de la ciudad, a un lado del casino. Te atendemos completamente en español. Márcanos ya, 833-699-0792.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I saw Shelton this weekend. Didn't get the opportunity to, first off, didn't get the opportunity to lotion up in front of him. Not sure he would be comfortable with that. But what I did see was him go and pick up Gerald Briscoe from behind with a German suplex lift. Yeah. And then Gerald Briscoe turned around like he was going to shoot on him, which was hilarious to me. Shelton looks incredible.
He does.
And this was one of my most anticipated matches in this tournament. Neither one of these guys are main eventers per se. Kyle Fletcher is clearly on the come up. He's en route too. Shelton is one of those guys where if they give him a run, the right type of promos and story, world title match, I could absolutely see.
Yeah.
But these are two guys that I looked at and said, who can lose here? And I love those types of matches, Alex. That those are the type of matches I live for.
Right.
Are ones where you look at and you say, well, who can possibly lose? Well, Shelton Benjamin lost tonight. But this was my kind of thing. It was hard hitting, and the crowd was into it. That's what I love. Mm-hmm. The crowd in these C2 matches, they have to draw a line in the sand sometimes. Shelton has the long-term respect of the fans despite being a heel. Right. So emotionally there with him. Kyle Fletcher ends up cheating to win, but I thought this ended up going really well, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, obviously the Hurt Syndicate is a heel faction. But there is that veteran love for Shelton Benjamin, wanting to see him do well. And if you ask the crowd, who do you hate more, the Hurt Syndicate or anything led by Don Callis? They're always going to boo the Don Callis guy over a different heel faction, which is why I think that heel versus heel stuff is such an easy way to do things in AEW in particular, because the fans can be very discerning. Normally, I don't like that guy at all. But up against that guy, I'm rooting for him all day long. And I love that they're presenting the fans with a choice. These are two heel acts. Which one do you want to root for? Because you got to pick one. And I love that they do that. This was obviously the thing. Shelton's a heel act. But we love Shelton, so we're going to root for him anyway. This was one of those deals where... well, you asked the question, which one can lose this? If you asked me that question, I was like, Kyle can't lose.
Sure.
Because simply to me, I mean, he can because Garcia and Okada had that great draw on Collision. So they only have 1 point each. But to me, you don't want to at all dampen the momentum that Kyle had after beating Ospreay. You want to keep that going as long as possible. If he loses a match, it shouldn't be early in the tournament. He's facing Okada next week, so he might actually lose a match that early. But I thought Shelton was going to lose this match the whole way through. Until it got so late in the match, and he was way ahead on points. If you were asking me, he was in control of most of the match. Fletcher got in some shots, to be sure. There was even a couple of good near falls there. But Shelton was in control of the match. And then Fletcher saw an opportunity and got a roll up and a leverage pin and snuck out. He was like, Don, come on, let's run away. I don't want to accidentally get jumped by this guy after the match. So he found a way to win as the heel, as the guy that we really hate. Found a way to turn that against the people that we were rooting for at the time. I thought this was a really excellent way to get Fletcher that win that I think he needed, but also to protect Shelton. And then the post-match angle backstage with the Hurt Syndicate helped that even more. Loved that.
I am Crush NC says, I effing love the C2, LFG. Love to Fightful. How much I got to pay to see Sean go to a DPW show? I'll buy the tickets, DPW forever. I would love to go to a Deadlock Pro show. I've met a few of those guys. I really, really liked them. I've got nothing but good things to say about them. Eventually I'll just go. Eventually I'll just happen to be there. But
yeah,
Rafael Garcia, actually that was for something complete. It's in the wrong section here. But as I had mentioned about Shelton, or as you had mentioned about Shelton, backstage MVP is going off on him. Then he's just like, you know what? I'm just disappointed in you, because that's not what we do. Then they beat the living shit out of some stagehands. And I mean, really beat the crap out of them. MVP using with Kane was phenomenal. That's them getting their heat back there. And it's, I don't know what it accomplishes, but I liked it.
To me, it's specifically now, hopefully they do the right thing here. And we get some really interesting stuff with Shelton for the rest of the tournament. Because he beat recent former ROH champion Mark Briscoe in his first match and looked great. Didn't look like he was in danger ever of losing that match. Then, you know what I mean? Then he's got Fletcher. He's up on points on against Fletcher this whole time, but MVP thought he wasn't being he wasn't putting him away. He didn't have the killer instinct. Wasn't putting his foot on his throat, to so to speak, to put him away. And because he let him hang around too long, he got caught by a leverage pin, and the ref didn't see it because the ref's name is Rick Knox. I love that actually feeds into whenever you saw MVP at ringside for a Shelton Benjamin match, as Shelton was like letting up 2/3 or 3/4 of the way through the match, he would always like start pounding on the apron, like, come on, kill him. Let's go. We got to get out of here. And because he's not allowed at ringside for this match because of the rules of the C2, that he doesn't, he's not able to light a fire under his guy. And so now Shelton Benjamin has to light his own fire, so to speak. And the way he does that tonight is by trying to murder a guy wearing a headset, just walking along innocently next to him.
That is a fantastic point. The C2 is highlighting the value of MVP as a manager.
Yes.
As James says, a brilliant note. It is. I mean, that is one of the things that they didn't hammer it home as much this year about the C2, but no outside interference, no seconds. And that goes a long way because MVP harnesses a lot of that talent that Shelton Benjamin has. Mm-hmm. We've got 2LT Photo says, show was great, fantastic promos, great matches. Fletcher cheating to win is great. Shout out to the Sour King guy wrapped in lights. Oh, man. We see Patrick saying, as reported on Fightful Select, Mox is a real one. That is in reference to the Ryan Nemeth report. He mentioned in that complaint that I obtained that John Moxley, basically the whole situation didn't sit well with John Moxley.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, FightfulSelect.com. You can go there, read the whole thing. It is worth the read. James Zimmerman said, this show humped. I really enjoyed this episode of Dynamite. I do have some complaints here. The Hook promo. I'm fine with the Hook promo. Fine with that. The Patriarchy come out, lay him out, and put his arm down to attack him with a chair. And I kept saying, why didn't he move his hand?
I don't know.
Because they had his shoulder pinned down, but
yeah, but your elbow presumably works. You could move it around and at least make it harder for him to get a beat on it.
He's got to train with Tennille Dashwood and do the those, or I think it was outward. Either direction it works.
Yeah,
either direction it works. Yeah. Now I will say this: there was some misrepresentation in some website reports. I don't know if I misspoke or anything. I had never intended to say that this was on hold. This program is clearly not on hold. I don't know why it would be, but Christian is also doing a bit of a world title tease. Like, he is factored into the world title program there. But somebody said Kip had his knee on Hook's elbow. No, he didn't, buddy. No, he did not. He had his shoulder pinned down. There was not anything preventing his elbow or hand or even any of this. Like, you have a joint in your wrist as well. You can move that a little bit. Any thoughts on this Hook promo?
I mean, he wants to beat up Christian Cage at Hammerstein Ballroom because he's going to hurt him worse than he hurt his dad. I wanted to get a little geography lesson that the Hammerstein Ballroom is not too far from where Taz is billed from. I don't know that he actually could do anything physical, obviously, but it'd be nice to see him in the crowd or something if they were going to do that match there, you know, for his honor and whatnot. To be honest, when Hook showed up, I had forgotten about him and this program entirely. Because it wasn't on hold, obviously, because they're progressing with it. But it felt like there were so many other things that were so pressing, including Christian Cage doing a different thing that has nothing to do with Hook that is way more important objectively. So I'm glad that they're bringing it back if they want to do something with it. I don't know what that is. I also am still like waiting with bated breath for Samoa Joe to return because I don't think he's still filming that season of Twisted Metal. I understand he probably wants to get revenge on Chris Jericho for putting him through a wall on a forklift, but I would much rather see him come to his old friend Hook's aid against the Patriarchy.
Listen, drywall just be taking these wrestlers out in AEW.
Man, it's true.
Taking them out. Taz's build is like 4.5 miles away from Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Well, if you're looking to break all the walls down of your virtual location, check out Nord.
There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/FIFA will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
The Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal, JP right off the top saying, wish they would just end the Adam Cole storyline. Unfortunately, his injuries killed the story. Don't care about it at all, even with MJF's promo tonight. I hope they don't have Cole go over MJF. It will be the wrong call, but Cole is the face. I will say this. First off, I'm a sucker for battle royals. Didn't really care for this battle royal, though. Well, this is the most I have cared about an Adam Cole match since he's been back. The crowd seemed to agree with that. And that being said, I felt like the crowd was into this less than other things on the show. But it was just nice to hear them making noise for literally anything that Adam Cole did. Mark Davis got some shine during this match. But the real talking point of this is Brian Cage looks like a different human being with a beard.
He does.
I thought he was about to go whip Popeye's ass.
He's had the Lash LaRue sideburns for so long. All he's got to do is actually grow out them the rest of the way through the jaw and add the stash, and he looks entirely different. Who knew?
Yeah. My wife was like, oh, well, hold on. I don't see him in there. And I said, exactly. If he had those damn sideburns, you would have spotted him immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He looked way different. I think a welcome change.
Yeah.
I thought he looked great, but Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole end up winning this, getting rid of a couple sirloin beef sons of bitches at the end. Then, so they're going to face each other at Winter is Coming and I guess get a shot at MJF for the Dynamite Diamond Battle or the Dynamite Diamond Ring.
Right.
Thoughts, feelings, emotions, I will say this. This is the most interested I've been in whatever they're doing because Kyle O'Reilly is just straight up like, I'm ready to fight.
Right. The match they're going to have, Winter is Coming, that I'll be interested in that. I wasn't interested in this in the least, and I'll tell you why. 12 guys in the match. The way the match works is that the last two guys who are not eliminated face each other for the right to face Max. There was no one in that match who could have possibly
exactly
the final two than Adam and Kyle. Nobody. Like, if you had done an angle where Don Callis said, I just got off the phone with MJF. Brian, Lance, your orders are this. You do not let Adam and Kyle make the final two. And if they had wrestled the match like that, these two behemoths who are being paid by MJF to make sure that neither of these two guys are the guy he faces at World's End for the Dynamite Diamond Ring, and then they actually go out and try and accomplish that, maybe there's some tension there. But they were just messing around with the Top Flight Kids and the Dark Order members. They didn't seem to have anything going for them while they were doing this, and because the field was what it was, there was no other option. What are we thinking? The Butcher is going to be one of the last two guys? Like,
as
I don't think
Rafael Garcia says, not sure if I missed anything. Is Blade still in AEW or did he leave with the Bunny? Mark Davis and the Butcher sounds like fun if he isn't. Well, I agree with that. Mark Davis and the Butcher does sound like fun.
That'd be great.
But Blade has an injury. I look at Battle Royals, and one of the things I love about them, like, I like working them. I like doing battle royals. Yeah. I've worked a whole bunch of them. They are largely egoless. you don't run into a ton of egos when you're putting together a battle royal, because anybody can get thrown over the top rope.
Right.
Nobody is hurt by going over the top rope. It's not a pinfall.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not sitting there and saying that they got to have big names like this, but you know, Will Ospreay was not on this show. Hobbs was not on this show. FTR were not on this show. You've got Ray Phoenix under contract. You're not using him at all. Danhausen, like anybody to pop and be like, oh my God, it's them. I'm not saying that they would have made this infinitely better, but like, you know, Mark Briscoe, not on this show. Malachi Black, not on this show. None of these guys can go over the top rope and hit the ground.
You said Danhausen, and I got the greatest thing because, of course, there's 12 guys in the ring, right? And
yes.
And before the match starts, you have Danhausen's music play, and he comes out wearing a big poofy chef's hat. He's like, Danhausen talked to Tony Khan, and he got to me to agree this is a baker's dozen battle royal. So I am the baker, and I make it a baker's dozen. And he comes down and immediately gets eliminated, but it can be a lot of fun. Like, do something cool with that. But here's the deal with this. The one thing that happened within the match that actually advanced any storyline was finally Leo Rush and Action Andretti taking out the Martin brothers. And now we're going to get that little, maybe a little feud between those two tag teams. Maybe Leo Rush and Action Andretti end up together joining the Hurt Syndicate. They can be like the fast guy tag team. There's a lot of cool things, more cool things you could do with it. But the problem is you had a whole bunch of guys in here who were just in the battle royal to fill out the battle royal. And I agree with you, put in some bigger heavy hitters. But to me, like the Dynamite Diamond Ring, since nobody's ever had it but MJF, what do you do with it? You're not allowed to, he uses it as a weapon. If they win it, do they get to sell it? Like, they don't, it's not a title. Like, because the prize has been only given to Max through the entirety of its existence, and he has never used it except for a thing he puts near his balls that he then takes out to finish matches with. I don't know why anybody else would really want it.
There are too many prizes. When you have too many prizes, it just minimizes all the other prizes. Like, I had somebody on the Q&A show in Fightful Select say, well, what's up with the triple crown? The triple crown doesn't exist anymore.
Nope.
Because they put the title, they included a title that they had no say over changing, and that's the New Japan Strong title. So they just added a title to add a title. And now we're looking at a situation where, like, at any given time, four or five titles in AEW are not featured on a program.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. Jared Hazelwood says Cage looks like DX Rick Rude's head on He-Man. that's a very good shout.
Yeah.
Then we got the MJF promo. James Zimmerman says, do you think MJF could turn face to go up against the Death Riders? I've always felt like the thing to turn MJF truly face would have to be somebody, pardon my language, but out motherfuckering MJF to where the entirety of the AEW roster goes, yeah, MJF is a piece of shit, but he's at least the devil that we know. Right. Quite literally the devil they know in that situation all that. And I feel like the Death Riders could be that. I just don't think the Death Riders quite have the steam that AEW would like, but I think when you're going like against what AEW has become, I don't know if like three guys that maintain the respect like everybody is necessarily the people that could be doing that. What did you think of the MJF promo though?
I mean, I thought it was he laid out his reasoning too. Like, it was you who was selfish. Like you turned on me before I could turn on you. You have no proof of that. I mean, we know that Max has since shown his true colors and he definitely would have turned on Adam Cole eventually, but at the time he's right. And look what happened, because you can't let this go. Look what happened to Roddy Strong, because you can't let this go. Now you got to beat the hell out of your friend Kyle O'Reilly. And even if you do beat him, then what, you got to face me? Oh, good. To help you get your pound of flesh, buddy. But also, because you cheated me out of that title, I would, of course, still be champion now. But because there was a vacancy created there, there was all this chaos, everyone fighting over this title. And now Mox is out here murdering everybody every week. You know, I feel like that's on you. I actually like that right now there is a perfect prime. Weird.
Your camera went out.
My camera did go out.
And we got Dusty here.
Now I'm Oh, hello.
Whoa.
That's weird.
Oh, my God.
Hi. That's not at all what I wanted. Hold on. I'm going to move this over here to do this. At least I can look at the camera.
We'll read some super chats. Jambeard says, give me crazy. Hook versus Nick Wayne after the match. Team Taz 2.0 with Hobbs and Joe come out and save him at Hammerstein. Listen, if there's one thing I don't need, it's more mid stables in wrestling, because I feel like I think we went through a period where there were like no stables. Now there are just way too many. Oh God. Julia Hart has a vignette, and then Jamie Hayter calls out Julia. Vicky says, shout out for the AEW graphics on Julia's promo. Cheats in the C2 endings should be addressed down the line. Marina showing weakness, maybe. Thank you. We'll talk more about the Marina thing as we get there. But the Julia promo, I love that they've been doing these. I think Julia is going to beat Jamie Hayter. And I think that's what keeps Jamie Hayter away from the title. Right. Cheats in the C2, no. It's just outside interference. I mean, listen, you're allowed to cheat in the C2. You just can't use outside interference in doing so.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the Julia Hart and Jamie Hayter stuff? I
think it's great. I think you're right. I think, yeah, that Julia winning allows Jamie to do something until it's time for her to get a title shot. I think it should be really good. I like the idea of that being them being pulled in that direction. I think that all these little this time that they're giving the women to do these vignettes and backstage stuff is great. We're still stuck with one match a show. So hopefully when you start, if we're going to do like a protracted long Julia Hart versus Jamie Hayter, I hope we don't get one match from them every 4 weeks because they're only allowed one match a week. And 1 week we got to do an Anna Jay match. And so the next week we'll let Julia and Jamie Hayter win. The week after that, we'll have a Mercedes match. The week after that, we'll have a Marina match. So it's just, it's, you know, or a Mariah match. I feel like there's this, you know, or a Marina match. Maybe a Marina Shafir will eventually have matches. But since there's only one allowed per Dynamite, we can't actually progress all of these stories in ring at the same time. And I'd rather that they give more time to the women in ring.
So, speaking of, Mariah May does an interview. And she straight up says, you know, addresses, you know, some of the criticisms of that division. She's like, tits will only get you so far. You have to put the work in.
Yeah.
And, she is confronted by Mina. How are you feeling about how this story is progressing? I mean, it was a natural feud. Mina is over with the crowd. They like her. The champagne bottle elements of their feud, I thought, worked out really well between Mina kicking it and how do you feel about the direction they're going now?
I liked Mina coming in with a champagne bottle and Mariah thinking she was going to hit her, but no, she's just here to give her the champagne bottle. And she says, do it to my face. I liked that. Yes. I thought that was clever. That progresses it. But Mariah versus Mina on Winter is Coming should be great, but I don't think there's any chance that Mariah loses. So we will see where they start progressing with these different storylines and how everything comes around. I still feel like we are keeping everything warm for a big return from Toni Storm and a huge rematch at the Australia show in February. So we'll see. How do they keep Mariah fresh? How do they keep her title reign from feeling stale if they know that we're not doing anything really meaningful with it beyond this Mina stuff, which is meaningful, but then after she gets past Mina, you know, what keeps her hot until the Toni Storm match in February?
Bandido coming back. Great to see. It's been a long, long time.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Love that. Love that. Jam Beard says Dusty is taking over Alex's camp with these cuts. Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, by the way, guys, we have a big ROH spoiler later, so be warned. But in the Fightful Select Scoops thread, or not Scoops thread, it was on our Discord, FightfulSelect.com. We had posted a bit of news, and I had gotten rumblings that something like this would happen. But, oh, boy, it exceeded expectations. Max Caster cut a promo backstage, you know, really, really being obnoxious. Swerve immediately came out, beat the living shit out of Max Caster, threw him into the barricades, hit three house calls, pinned him, came back, and hit another swerve stomp. This was a complete domination of Max Caster.
Yeah.
Just, it is exactly what it needed to be.
Right.
Not all of these need to be like, oh, well, let's go 8, 9, 10 minutes back and forth. Let's go to the finish. No, sometimes guys like Swerve need to go out there, do their cool shit, and beat the crap out of people who have accomplished some things at that.
I liked backstage where, like, Daddy Ass was telling him, like, you got to smarten yourself up, but this is not what you need to be doing. Like, come on, man. Listen to reason. And then Bowens is like, hey, best wrestler alive, why don't you go prove it? And Max is like, thank you, I will. And the look on Bowens' face was like, no, you won't. And I love also that Daddy Ass says, listen, obviously we know you're the best wrestler alive. And Bowens shot Daddy Ass a look like, speak for yourself. Like, I love that there's this rivalry now growing between, because every time he said best wrestler alive, Bowens kept looking at him for months now of like, hold on, you know, like, and I honestly thought that this is really good. But here's what I kind of hoped would happen tonight was after that ass whooping he took, he staggers backstage, pulls that business card out of his hand and shows it to MVP and says, I'm ready to join.
And what I
want revenge on Swerve the way I don't like that guy. I'm joining up with you so we can take out Swerve. And MVP says we don't want losers. You can tear that up. That's no good anymore. And that piss off Max Caster even more. I want that closure with that, because up until we get the closure, I'm still worried that Max Caster is joining the Hurt Syndicate, and I can't.
I don't think he is. I don't think he is at all. I think that this is the best thing for Max Caster. I do. And like I said, him calling himself best wrestler alive, like he is neither great enough to say that nor shitty enough for it to be ironic. Like he's completely fine. Like, and is over live with the crowds to whatever degree he needs to be. Right now we're doing it. We're seeing where the crowd boos him and likes Bowens, which I think is a cool dynamic to have as well.
Yeah.
But Swerve, listen, this helps Swerve a lot. Swerve says, Lashley, we're not done. This is going to be you. And once you lose to a guy like Bobby Lashley and you and your manager are put down with a full Nelson, like you got to have a statement like this. And I think this goes so far.
Right.
With this is one of the best things in this feud, and Lashley wasn't even involved in it.
Right.
It was a great piece of progression there. And I'm with you. MVP should be like, well, why would we need you? We have seen that you are ineffective.
Right.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Chris Jericho segment. So we're about to give you guys a spoiler. Alex, do you know what the spoiler is?
I do know what the spoiler is. I saw it in the chat earlier.
So navigate away. Because this is multi-layered. Matt Cardona will challenge Chris Jericho for the ROH title of the Hammerstein Ballroom. Of which I think is objectively a phenomenal idea.
It's a great idea.
For a number of reasons. One, Matt Cardona, got nothing but love for that guy. Yep. Works his ass off, creates buzz.
Yep.
Boy, will this one cause some discourse. Because last week, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business or $54 a year in the business. You can gift subscriptions now, by the way.
Yeah.
Reported that AEW pulled Ricky Starks from a number of shows.
Yes.
Including GCW's Hammerstein Ballroom show in January.
Yeah.
Because Effie, on a podcast, said that GCW does not have millions of dollars and can't run at a deficit, and said that Tony Khan's father paid him to go away. All this stemming from AEW running the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Right.
A month before. As a result of that, I believe Ricky Starks was supposed to face Matt Cardona on the Hammerstein Ballroom GCW shows. Hadn't been announced. Effie is now facing Matt Cardona on one of those shows, and then AEW then books Matt Cardona to wrestle at the Hammerstein Ballroom AEW ROH show.
Yes.
Against Chris Jericho.
Yes.
Boy, that is some 4D chess going on there. That is...
It is something.
Well, you know what? It's like you start a game of 4D chess and you just hit the chessboard with a ball bat repeatedly. Mm, is what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I hope Cardona wins. I know he won't, but I hope he does.
I hope he does too. I hope he does too. I think that would sincerely be best. But you know what my hope is? That at some point over the last week or so, Tony Khan and GCW have gotten in touch with one another and decided to turn this into a work.
Yeah.
What I can tell you guys is that as of 1 week ago, nowhere near a possibility. And I know people would be like, well, how can you know? Listen, buddy, I talk to these people all the time.
Yeah.
I put together a match with Effie. He was sincerely confused as to what he said. However, and listen, this is me putting my tinfoil hat on. Effie, knowing that Brett Lauderdale was like, Effie, why? Because Brett was like that. He was frustrated as well. Going out there and then further twisting the knife into the wound.
Yeah.
My hope is that all of this turned into some sort of big work after that, because throughout this process, and listen, somebody says, I don't think AEW would benefit much from any of this. Okay. How did WWE benefit from the ECW agreement back in the day or for in any of these agreements or partnerships or talent exchanges, so to speak? Listen, get a little bit of buzz. Put some asses in seats. I would love to see Ricky Starks worked into this situation. Effie, listen. Listen, Effie, I'm always happy to see him get beat up, but as of last week, Brett Lauderdale had never really talked to Tony Khan. And I can tell you when I talked to Brett Lauderdale, he told me something that I don't even know if it's out there, but like something that isn't public knowledge that if you found out, you'd be like, oh, okay, so that's why a lot of people go to bat for Tony Khan, because he did this for this talent that not only would you not have expected him to do, it would be one of the last talent you would have expected him to do something nice for.
Right.
And, man, we will see. And listen, GCW integrating with ROH into some capacity?
Yeah. That'd be good for them.
That would be good for both sides.
Both of them is what I mean.
The equation there. That's what I want to see. Jay White defeated Pac because of Wheeler. Wheeler Yuta was just beside himself here. There are a few moves I like more than a real swift, crisp Blade Runner, Alex. Like a no-hesitation Blade Runner. How'd you feel about this?
This was great. Pac and Jay White work really, really well together. No surprise there, obviously. When he rolls to the outside, after the brutalizer is left on forever and he's out there And he takes a Busaiku knee from Wheeler Yuta, who rolls him in. And with his dying breath, Jay White hits a Blade Runner on Pac and rolls onto the cover. That man was dead. That man didn't have anything left in him. But it was like this one thing of like, I got this one thing in him, in me. And he surprised Pac with it and won with it. It was not a thing where like Wheeler Yuta was like, oh, how did that happen? It was set up perfectly. But here's what I love about all of this beyond that is that the post-match like brings more into stark relief this thing of if you decide that you and your four pals are going to do a hostile takeover of a wrestling company, don't be surprised if there are some pretty strange bedfellows that get together to try and take you down. I love that there are challenges to Mox and the Death Riders coming from as varied of places as Hangman Page on one leg and Orange Cassidy dressed like a ninja. This was a really fun post-match angle with this becoming a thing where like Mox is going to have to figure out a way to get out of a multi-man match that involves all these things with another dude hanging around, a guy as smart and as slick and as opportunistic as Christian Cage, who's got a get out of jail free card. I can pin you whenever I have a chance to with this contract I've got in my hand. Like, I love that Mox is kind of as the ultimate heel, who has a band of murderers following him around, is also at a disadvantage because he's pissed off so many people. This is really cool.
I loved this. I loved seeing these three guys being like, this evil is definitely way greater than whatever issues we have with one another. Yeah. Love for Bruce says, since Hangman and Switchblade can exist in the same space as long as Mox is there, I'd love to further this experiment and add Swerve. I love chaos. Well, I think Swerve's long-term and immediate future is with the Hurt Business or the Hurt Syndicate. But yeah, I wouldn't hate to see it. There's an account that I just adore on Twitter. Just brilliant insight. Skytel Wrestling. Somebody that I know to have been in the business for quite some time, but said that they think that their main event mix should be Hangman, Swerve, Ospreay, Kenny, Moxley, Okada, Darby, and Garcia. And I think that's pretty strong with an upper mid card of Hurt Syndicate, OC, Fletcher, Takeshita, MJF, Cole, Copeland, Brody, and Hobbs. And you look at that and you're like, damn, sometimes you really forget how deep this roster is. It's
so deep.
And I think ultimately you get down to the crux of wins and losses matter and the prizes have to matter.
Right.
And one of the prizes can be we are protecting the place that we work and the place that we helped build.
Yeah.
You can only restore the feeling and, you know, all that stuff so many times. But I felt like this was a nice feel-good segment comprised of Hangman, completely unstable, but a character that people love. Yeah. Switchblade, a known piece of shit character who is at least showing some redeemable qualities.
Yes.
And one of the more pure yet unmotivated, now motivated characters.
Right.
So what we are seeing out of all three of these characters are guys who have played sort of both sides of the coin in AEW. Yeah. We have seen a range out of them. So this company that they are protecting has now seen some of the best and worst out of all of them. But right now in this moment, it's seeing the best of them again.
Yeah, I love, like, there will be, I think, very few redemption arcs that are going to be better than Hangman Page here because of how low he sunk. And in a way that to him felt entirely righteous. And if you look at it from a certain point of view, you understand why he snapped to the level that he did.
But when if he comes back around to being the guy who cut the promo on CM Punk of, I have to protect AEW from you. AEW has always been a thing that he has felt like he had to protect. So if he gets rid of all of the other stuff that drove him insane and gets back to the White Knight on the steed riding in to save AEW from an evil force, then honestly, that just writes itself. I'm not saying it's going to be overnight, but by the end, like, that might be the moment where he's able to do it. And honestly, like, one of the greatest things you could possibly do is show him burying the hatchet with Swerve to help Swerve topple John Moxley. Like, that's months and months and months down the line. But if they say they don't want to do OC and they don't want to do Darby, they're waiting to do this maybe even next fall at All In, you know, like, maybe that's where it is. A true act of selflessness, helping the dude he once hated so much he burned down his childhood home, as long as the title isn't on John Moxley anymore.
Yeah,
there's a lot of really cool stuff you could do that.
Love for Boost. Actually, we read that one. Maddie Nice says, how do you feel about the Bengals cutting Trent Irwin? Listen, he's a wonderful guy. I'll just say that. A wonderful guy and a great story, coming from literally a reality show as a kid to the practice squad to where a few years ago, unexpectedly, when T. Higgins or Jamar Chase were out, he was fitting right in and just absolutely killing it, and he was completely serviceable last year. This year, you got to catch more than 30% of your targets if you want to be on an NFL team. I hope that he catches on somewhere else, because he is a legitimately wonderful guy. He really is. And I was not done. There we go with that one. I'm loving the current team AEW of OC, Jay, and Hanger. Hanger is the only man Mox fears. It is an interesting aspect. And so often, Alex, we have seen these, like, in the past, some blood and guts teams and some just like some of these, like, well, we're team AEW,
right?
Like, just really just not fit. This is the one that somehow has seemed most natural.
Yeah.
And Eric says, if it was up to me, I'd love to see Jay White win the title at Grand Slam. You know what? That is something I hadn't even considered, but Jay White competing for the title at Grand Slam seems like, yeah, something that could absolutely happen. Yeah.
That would be excellent.
Jane Beard says, one thing I'd love to see in the Darby Death Riders feud and that is that the House of Black group that is the group that backs up Darby. Yeah, I really think that what Darby is missing is his Ethan Page. And by that, I mean Ethan Page outside of AEW. Used to just really mess him up. And we saw it. We saw it for a while in AEW. It was his Braun Strowman days, Roman Reigns. Like, the I'm not finished with you, I will always kill you guy. But with that underlying respect there, he does it because he knows how dangerous Darby is. And I've always thought Brody King could be that to Darby.
Right.
That guy that just absolutely destroys Darby because he knows how dangerous Darby is. I think that could work, but I also think that BetOnline could work for all of you. For years, you've seen BetOnline AG's odds on Fightful, whether it be wrestling, MMA, or boxing. That's who we trust. 25 plus years, they've been trusted online by millions. They've got a safe and secure environment. They've got payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the industry's best bonuses. Whether you want to play games, whether you want to bet on basketball, MMA, boxing, wrestling, baseball, hockey, anything, check them out. You may say, wait, you can bet on wrestling? Yes, you can bet on wrestling. We've been giving you betting odds on wrestling for so long and giving you some good underdog picks as well. I think we hit a 9 in our first few months just working with BetOnline AG. So check it out for yourself. Of course, we want you to only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. Check out our friends over at BetOnline AG. BetOnline, I mean, the odds that I posted from our great partners at BetOnline AG this week went viral. The Rock was favored to win the Royal Rumble. Listen, it's with the Royal Rumble odds, rarely is it such a favorite that it's not still an underdog pick. Rarely is it the minus, so to speak. But listen, I do not think The Rock is winning that one. I would advise against that bet for sure. Becky Lynch, though, pops up at a Netflix special as a Fightful Select and PW Insider had reported. And all of a sudden, she's the betting odds favorite. So keep your eye on the bet online odds. Shinsuke Nakamura ended up being an underdog victor on the odds this past week. Contrite Snake says, is Jericho or Athena main eventing final battle? I would imagine Matt Cardona is going to main event final battle with Jericho. And it's going to be one of those unique situations, Alex, where Matt Cardona in the Hammerstein Ballroom is usually a heel, but right. Matt Cardona in this Hammerstein Ballroom is going to get more of it. Like, he's going to get more of his hometown people there.
Yep.
It's going to be fun. That environment will be good. Mercedes Monet interview where Camille is brought up again and she's like, don't you mention her. For everybody, like, there are a lot of people acting just like Camille's never going to show up again. Like, I don't think they'd even mention her if she was never going to show up again.
Yeah.
To me, it seems to be pretty clearly setting up a return for her.
Yeah. Yes, I agreed. I think so as well.
I got a quote from Brett Lauderdale. I'll read that one after this segment. Anna Jay defeated Penelope Ford. This is after Mercedes said she was going to keep an eye on this match. So I'm glad Anna got a win, and they're at least using what little capital they had developed upon the return of Penelope Ford by giving Anna Jay another win here. But she called out Mercedes after this. They set up a match for Holiday Bash. I do love that Mercedes went to square up with her and then checked her watch.
Yes.
Checked her watch. She's like, oh, heavens, look at the time.
Well, look at the time. Got to slap the hog.
Look at the time. Can't do that. I don't know how quite I feel about this, because there is no chance Anna Jay is going to win this match. Absolutely no. Zero chance.
No. And it's also so close to World's End.
Yeah.
That, like, are you doing something in the match that gives Anna Jay an immediate rematch? Or is this going to be yet another pay-per-view for AEW where only one of the two women's titles is being defended? I think that would be three or four in a row. And I just feel like you shouldn't do that. So, I thought that, Camille being out of commission with attacked backstage, Mercedes says, just know about it. They're not working together anymore. Also, it felt far too quick for Anna Jay to, like, get a quick victory over Deonna Purrazzo, and then that's done. What I had hoped was maybe that, like, that Deonna Purrazzo and the Vendetta start working with Mercedes Monet.
Deonna probably wishes that too.
Like, that would
what I understand. Yeah.
That would be a really cool thing to, like, okay, we are your paid protection. And the line that you give Deonna says, as long as the money keeps flowing, the Monet stays champ. And that's the reaction. We will protect you. We'll make sure nobody takes that title off of you. But if you cross us, then we can make sure you lose it.
The Renegade Twins can't show up soon enough, by the way. I'd be very excited to see them involved here. Deonna's faction's got to do something. Also, I have started the Harley Graham versus La Luchadora agenda. I want to see that match happen. We were putting together Fightful Award nominations, and I'm looking up and down, and I'm like, Harley Cameron might win Women's Best on Promos. Like, there's a solid chance she might win Best on Promos.
It's been so long since most people have heard a Toni Storm promo that I think she fades into the background. And in her absence, Harley Cameron has knocked it out of the park. So if it's like a recency bias thing, I think Harley Cameron wins hands down. But if you look back at some of the stuff that Toni Storm was doing in the spring and the summer, like, Toni Storm might be one of my best ever.
Yeah, I think that heading into 2025, if I had to put, like, an odds on favorite, I'd probably say Harley Cameron might be the odds on favorite next year. if she can keep it up. Also, sending love to that household of Toni Storm and Juice Robinson. A broken fibula and a torn labia in that household, I understand. I did speak to Juice Robinson. He specifically wanted to clarify, because it had been out there reported elsewhere that he had a broken foot. He did not. He broke his fibula. Mm. And this tough son of a bitch broke his leg, finished the match, went to a wrestling convention this week, did his meet and greets and signings. Jay White and Toni Storm were helping around all weekend. It was the most adorable, sweet thing that you would ever see. Really caring for him. Then he got x-rays when he got back. Now, AEW knew that he was not going to be able to do the Continental Classic, but he was still hoping it was a sprain, and unfortunately it is a broken fibula. But he is in good spirits. Listen, he's one of the more colorful, positive guys in pro wrestling. We wish him the best, because what a guy. But and I just want to specify this about the segment I'm about to talk about, Anna Jay and Penelope Ford. This isn't a slight on the performers, because people get weird, especially with any tepid criticism of women's wrestling, but match was fine. Didn't have a problem with that. But I'm sitting there saying, why the hell would Mercedes care about this match? Because just because Anna Jay said, well, now I've got my eyes on that. And she beat Deanna. Okay. That's fine. Prior to that, we had seen Anna Jay losing two AEW women's world title matches sandwiched in between her also not winning a match in New Japan. So at least she beat Deonna Purrazzo, but like, why should she have been paying particular attention to Penelope Ford, who lost to Britt Baker the last time we saw her, who lost to Jamie Hayter the last time we saw her before that, has one win since she came back. Yeah. Like, why would there be any particular focus on that?
Because I think that they very sloppily did the promo with Anna Jay says, well, yes, I won't be able to face Mariah May, but there's other titles. And like, I guess Mercedes' ears perked up at that. This the only title you could be thinking of is mine. So now you've decided, now you pissed me off. But they could.
Maybe she was aiming for Red Velvet.
Maybe she was.
MD Cyclo says, where's Willow been the last few weeks? She helped OC equalize Marina at Full Gear and hasn't been involved since. Seems like the part of the story, they got to that part of the story too early. Now going backwards with it. Don't watch weekly, so I'm genuinely curious. I know she had been battling concussion symptoms. I don't know if that was still affecting her, but might be a situation where, and I'm saying this might be, situation where she got cleared for that spot, but maybe not necessarily to wrestle. We got a quote from Brett Lauderdale. I said, okay, thoughts, feelings, emotions. And he says, in regards to, and I said, Cardona working Jericho at Hammerstein for Final Battle. He goes, let me think. And then he says, I'm excited for Matt, excited for the fans. It will be a fun atmosphere at the Hammerstein Ballroom for AEW. And I think things may have just got a little more interesting for GCW's return to Hammerstein Ballroom on January 19th. There you go. That's the comment.
All right. That's the quote. That's the comment. Run with it, aggregators.
No, what they'll do is wait until I copy and paste it to my own Twitter so they don't have to transcribe it. That's what they'll do.
That's
they don't. They don't got their Jeremy Lamberts and Collins out there. Claudio defeated Brody King. I think Switchblade and Pac should have main evented.
Yeah, especially with the post match thing. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, you know, for all the discourse about what AEW is missing, sirloin beef sons of bitches getting real time. Mm-hmm. You know, we've missed Hobbs for a long time. We miss Miro. Like, we miss the meat. Mm-hmm. By God. And Tom LaValle says, thanks to Meat Normus for sponsoring the main event. We got the meat in this main event. We did. How'd you feel about it?
I really enjoyed it. I'm unable to get a straight answer from people that I have asked. The injury to Brody's wrist happened in August of 2023. Has he re-injured it since then? Like, because they mentioned it, like he was favoring the wrist in last year's
C2. And I was like, yeah, I remember that, because he had recently come back from it. So I just feel like there should be like for all injuries, we should just get a set amount of time that you can favor that in. I don't want the wrapped wrist for Brody King to become like DDP's wrist tape, rib tape, where his ribs are injured for 4 damn years. Because to me, it was just Claudio banging on the wrist the entire time and Brody King using that same wrist to do chops. And I just felt like if it was a recent injury or if it was something you did something to him in the match, it was just him like seeing the thing, it's got a target on him, and him playing with the wrist for the whole time. I kind of wanted a different match between these two guys. Now, that match was wrestled well, but it wasn't what I was hoping for. And also, I guess, yes, you're allowed to cheat in the C2. You're just not allowed outside interference. I want there to be less cheating overall in wrestling, but having both C2 matches tonight bookend the show with a guy who I believe was in danger of losing until he cheated to sneak a victory. It just felt like they were too similar to me, but...
You know how I would have had this done? I would have had, earlier in the night, Claudio beats Brody. Yeah. And then they jump Brody, the Death Riders.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the night, and I mean like they really violently jump Brody and in an amount of time that he could not be saved. At the end of the night, you have the Jay White match. You've got the you know, the Strange Bedfellows coming there.
Yeah.
Death Riders are about to come back. Lights off, lights on. House of Black are standing there.
Yeah.
So then you also have the, okay, well, they've really pissed off everybody element of this.
Right.
Meat Normus says, you asked and you'll receive. Here's a meat chat for a meaty main event. Buddy should have been in the C2, but oh well. Wardlow Hobbs update, please. Hobbs is fine. Hobbs is cleared. He is good to go. He's back in action, not with the Don Callis family. I mean, he's there. He's traveling with AEW. He worked, a couple weeks ago in that tag match.
Right.
But
we haven't heard anything from him since I thought there was going to be a big hot angle after the Ricochet partnership, and we didn't get anything.
It's been 2 weeks. If he's not at any of the week shows that upcoming weeks, right. Sure.
Yeah.
Wardlow is injured, unfortunately, and has been for quite some time. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. Comment on it. Let us know what you thought of this show. Reminder, FightfulSelect.com. You can vote in the upcoming Fightful Awards. We are just always so proud of that, and we're proud of it because the talent are proud of it as well. It always makes me happy when I get talent hitting me up, asking me who has landed on the nominations, much less who has won. So make sure you guys check that out. Your vote is very, very important to us. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me at Alex Sourgraps on all of the social medias. You can find me on Friday night on Five of Select doing a watch-along of Rampage, which has all of the C2 matches. There's like 3 at least. It's a crazy night. Rampage is going to be one of the best ones they've ever had. So let's do a watch along if I have Select. Why not?
You know, I might drop a little bit of Rampage news on Fightful Select this week. N. Simmons says, I was confused as why Claudio beat Ricochet and Brody. Then I remember they're probably going to do Elite versus DR. So I can see Claudio versus Okada. Don't want that. And I love Claudio. Hope I'm wrong. I wonder how they're going to get to Elite and Death Riders, especially with... I mean, Kenny Omega is going to be a babyface when he comes back. And I was thinking that he was going to come back for World's End. I think he should come back for World's End. I don't know how tickets are doing for that. I need to look, actually. But let me see here. As of 14 hours ago, they had distributed 4,300 of their 4,500 setup. Clearly, for a pay-per-view, they want to do more than 4,500.
Right.
They did Dynamite last year and did 5,700. They will almost certainly beat that with, you know, walk-ups and additional. But you want to get 7,000 to 8,000 people in there. I think Kenny Omega coming back would be cool there. But guys, check out the James Lynch video today. Check out my interview with Trevor Lee, Cameron Grimes tomorrow. We talk Million Dollar Belt, his WWE departure, MLW, all kinds of stuff. Him wrestling hour and 40 minute matches on the indies, which was a thing that he used to do. Check it out, guys. FightfulSelect.com. We have an exclusive interview up with Steve Macklin talking toys for tots, his favorite toys, all kinds of stuff like that. Until next time, we're out.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.